was there, I'd done a part one of a lesson, the dispute in Jerusalem. This is not part two. And it was spoiled, Michael. It was spoiled. See, look at it. Part two is not part two of the lesson. Part two of that lesson will be done another time. This is a different lesson from that one. And what has inspired this lesson is what we are going to move into. We are going to move into, when Brother Mitchell returns, we are going to be moving into a series of lessons on personal evangelism in the Wednesday night Bible study. So this lesson is inspired by that. I'm going to sort of talk a little bit, and then I'm going to give you the title of the lesson. The lesson has possible three titles. You can choose whichever one you want, but I'm going to talk a little bit with you first before I give you the title of the lesson. Now, this morning in Fabian's lesson, he mentioned something about history. He says when he was growing up, he didn't put much value, am I right, Brother Webb, on the importance of history. But he learned to understand history over a period of time. Now, we also have to understand the history of our country, but not only that, the culture of our country. And as a teacher, and I believe Sweetie is here, she's a teacher also, we have come across students who their very learning ability is impacted negatively by what goes around them. In other words, then, we are a society that we tend to put people down in our society. We don't lift people up. We don't have that spirit of nurturing. So in the classrooms, I've seen a lot of students who I describe them, sorry, as broken students in front of me. And before I even teach them the content of the economics or the content of whatever subject I'm teaching them, sometimes I have to have sessions just building them back up because they tell themselves they can't achieve it, they tell themselves they can't do it because of the experience of the education system. You know, the teacher say, you get it wrong, you are no good. They are coming from home with the parents also drill that into them that they are no good. So their self-esteem is broken. Now, these are the people that are coming into the church. We have to bear that in mind. The people they are broken, you know, their self-esteem, Sister Johnson, is broken. Because all the years of their lives, they are told that they cannot do this and they cannot do that, they cannot do that. So these are the people coming into the church. And as they come into the church, they are told by us now from the pulpit that they must get involved in different ministries. But remember, they are coming broken. And they are coming knowing that, you know, they have been told all their lives they are no good and they can't accomplish anything. And then we are telling them, no, you need to do this for Christ. So the lesson today is this. I have three titles for you. What can we learn from Moses' fear and excuses? What can we learn from Moses' fear and excuses? Or you could title it also, The Call to Serve. The call to serve and excuse is given. The call to serve, excuse is given. Or what can we learn from Moses' fear and excuses? Or we could title it a case study of Moses giving excuses. You can choose any of the title you want. But I like the title. What can we learn from Moses' fear and excuses? And this lesson is drawn from Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. A parallel passage is another passage of encouragement to us as Christians about to go and do evangelism, going to spread the word, is another passage, a good passage, is also found in Joshua, the case of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, verse 9, and verse 18. We're not going to go to Joshua at all tonight. But that is also another very good case study where God tells him that he must be of good what? Courage. Good courage. So, the lesson tonight, we are hoping to learn three things. We want to learn more about Moses himself. One. So we want to learn about Moses. By extension, we want to learn about ourselves. By extension. So we learn about Moses. We want to learn about ourselves. We also want to learn about God, because this case study reveals God also, you know, as you will see as you go to the passage. Now, the context of the lesson. God called Moses to save the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Moses came up with not just one excuse, not two, not three, not four, but Moses came up with five excuses why he was not the one to do it. But in the end of the dialogue, right away, between him and God, Moses actually did it. I want you to think of what I just said a while ago. He gave five excuses for not doing what God told him to do. But at the end of the dialogue in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Exodus, Moses actually did it. So we learn that it is possible then, Sister Johnson, to overcome our fears with God's help, those insecurities that we have, stopping us from doing evangelism, all of those insecurities that we believe about ourselves, we can still overcome it and carry out personal evangelism because Moses did it. And we can learn a lot about that. Now, it was the fear and the insecurities that drove Moses' excuses. In other words, what fueled these excuses? It was his fear, you know. It was his fear and his own sense of not being able to do things that gave him the excuses. And we do the same thing all the time in the church. As I told you, we are coming from a culture that it doesn't build self-esteem. Jamaica is, they always describe Jamaica as the audience when people are artists' savior. They always say Jamaica is the roughest critique. If you can't make it in Jamaica, you can make it anywhere in the world. They always say that. So we have a culture of that. And the people are not coming from a different country into the church. They are coming from Jamaica. So Moses believed these things about himself. We're going to also look at when Moses gave his excuses, Brother Cunningham, how did God, so we're going to learn about God too, how did God respond to each of those excuses that Moses gave? How did God respond to it? Very, very enlightening. Did God scream at Moses? No. His anger was kindled against Moses, yes. And Moses gave the fifth excuse. The Bible said his anger was kindled against Moses. But God never screamed at Moses, you know. God never said, I know that you can't do it. I always, you know, I don't believe you can't do it. God never said those things to Moses, you know. Mm-mm. God didn't hammer down Moses for his perceived inadequacies. God never hammered on Moses, you know. God never did that. God calmly answered Moses, each of Moses' excuses. God calmly answered each of Moses' excuses. Let us look at the first one, Rakoy, or Oshane, whoever is reading for me. Turn your Bibles now. Everybody turn your Bibles, please. We might not be able to look at all five of them and not be able to probably go through every one of them in detail, but I will sort of summarize them for you. Because I don't intend to come back to this as a part two. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 9 for me, Rokoi. We're going to learn that textual lesson this year. So look at verse 9. Read verse 9 for me. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. This is God talking to Moses now. And God says, I see something happening to the children of Israel. Listen to verse 10 now. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, God never come and ask him, do you think you want to go to Pharaoh? God just give him a command and say, look here, come. No, therefore, because this is happening, this is not my will. I don't want my children of Israel to suffer. You are going to come now, therefore, and I will send you. So God, this is not any guessing thing, you know. God comes straight out and say to Pharaoh, I am going to send you to deal with this situation. I'm going to send you to deal with the situation. This morning, Phoebe talked about that we are called, and we are called to do certain things. In the Wednesday night Bible study, we talk about evangelism, right? And the gospel. So God is saying to Moses, I am going to send you now to Pharaoh to bring forth the children out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? First excuse, you know. Who am I that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? So a lot of times we are saying to ourselves, we are at our workplace, we have the gospel, we know that we have the gospel, and our boss is a powerful person in the organization, we work for a powerful boss, and we think, who am I? I might say to myself, who am I? Who is Brother Gilbert to go and talk to this powerful man? Who am I? No. That's just an excuse because you have your insecurities. You are looking to yourself. Once you look into yourself, and you will not be able to do the job. Look at God's response now. And he said in verse 12, certainly, God spoke with such calmness towards Moses. Listen to the tone of God. He says, certainly, I will be with you. I will be with you. So when we are thinking of the insecurity that we have, Brother Vivian, and the doubts that we have of not doing personal evangelism, remember that God says, just like what he says to Moses, he's saying to us, I will be with you. When we keep the street meetings at Sherlock Crescent and Browning Avenue, when we do the different ministries and different outreach programs, when we do the door-to-door knocking, always remember that God says, I will be with you. Don't put yourself down too much. Look to God instead, because God is going to be with you, Rokoi, and help you to achieve his goal and his objectives. I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, this phrase is very important, Fabian. Aside from the Wednesday night Bible study, you can ask a question. But the phrase that when God goes on, God went on to say, I will be with you. But God went on to say this, when you have brought, God does take it as given. That the mission will be what? Accomplished. Do you see that? God just take it as given that Moses will accomplish the mission. Because God goes on. He didn't say if, you know. God did not say if. God says, when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God. This is what is going to happen. You shall serve God upon this mountain. So it's not any if. So when you are doing God's word, when you are doing God's will, it's not any if. God is going to bless that effort that you put out in evangelism. He's going to bless the effort because he says to Moses, when you have brought forth the people, Moses was saying to him, God, you're gone too far now. You got too far now. I never reached that stage yet, Sister Johnson. I never reached here, so I don't even contemplate that part yet. But God says, no, that is where I see you doing. That is what I see you doing, because God knows everything. So it's going to be with him, and God knows everything. God said, I'm going to bring you out. So his first excuse was, I'm not anybody. So God answered that excuse. Now the question I have to ask ourselves today, and I said, are we allowing the culture of our parents, the culture of the school system, the culture of whatever, to tell us that we cannot accomplish things for God? We can accomplish things for God. Because God says, Fabian, I am with you. And God sees what you are going to do before you even see it. Because he said, when you bring the people out, when you bring these souls, God see the souls that you're going to bring this year, you know. God see it already. So we just have to say, remember, God says, I am going to be with you. Moses don't finish yet. You think that Moses give up? No, that God answered me. Moses really tested God, you know, Fabian. So Moses come on, that second excuse. Let us hear now. You have it now, Brother Rokoi or Brother Oshin. You have the passage, the chapter now and the verses. Let me hear verse 13 and 15 of chapter 3.
Verse 13.
And 15. Right through to 15. Read 13 through to 15 of the same Exodus chapter 3.
And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?
Stop here, sir. No, stop right here. I want you to see something, though, that perhaps we have not looked into before. Look at verse 13, everybody. Everybody turn your Bible to verse 13. And look at verse 13. And we see here, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, just that little phrase before, that is telling you now that Moses has started to make some stages. Are you seeing that? Before him, he wasn't able to say anything. He had just said, who am I that should go under fear? But now when God answered him, Moses taking what we call baby steps. Baby steps. So Moses said, no. Moses started to see himself now going there. Because he said, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them. So Moses now start to see himself going there. Everybody see that? You see it? Right. So Moses start to see himself going there. You have to start see yourself going there. Going there to do evangelism. Start seeing yourself going there. And don't put up an excuse. But Moses still can't put another excuse. So I don't see himself going there. Moses can just say something else. And this excuse, too, is that I don't have all the answers, God. I don't know all the answers. When they ask a question, I don't know what I'm going to say to them. So that was Moses' second excuse. That comes with knowledge, you know. Knowledge of God's word. You're not going to have all the answers. That is what the church is here for. That is why we're going to do the personal evangelism workshop on Wednesday nights. So you will be able to, you still may not have all the answers, But you'll have as many answers possible. Because the Bible says you must be able to answer anybody that asks at the reason of your hope. You must be able to answer. Am I correct? Yes. So you must move to that stage now where you have the answer. Because if you don't have the answers, you're not going to have the confidence to go out there. Let me say it again. Remember, you know, you have the insecurity already. And you have the fear. You believe lies about yourself. That you can't do this and you can't do that. You believe lies about yourself. But now you must start to put some knowledge on it now. So when you go out there, you know, you're able to deal with certain things. Are you following me, everybody? Follow me? So he has to now have some knowledge. So God is going to answer him again. And shall say unto them, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Read that part from in Rockhai 14.
And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Right, continue.
And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
So God has given him now, church, all the information that he needs. That when they ask him the questions, he'll be able to answer. Are you seeing everybody? When they ask us the questions out there in the field, when we're doing our personal work, we must be able to answer. That will help us quite a deal. You all agree with that? That will help us to do our evangelistic work. So, we think that all is fine, that Moses is now okay, right, Fabian? Moses is fine now. He's going there now. And all is ended. Not so. Moses still have another excuse. Excuse number three. Excuse number three. People will not believe me. No. Sometimes that is true. But you still can't let that stop you. Because although some people will not believe you, some people will believe you. Are you following everybody? Follow me? When you go out there to the press of work, you're going to have the mockers, you know. You're going to have the mockers, you're going to have the jeerers, you're going to have those who laugh at you, you're going to have those who insult you, you're going to have those who run you from them gate. You're going to have a lot of that. It is what it is. You're going to have that. But you're going to still have those who listen to you. Those who say, come, I want to hear more. But all you guys know, those who listen and who don't, if you don't do the work. So Moses said, and he was right, Pharaoh never really listened to him at all. he got a baptism of fire from Pharaoh. Pharaoh never really listened to him at all. Let us hear Exodus 4 now, 1 to 5. Quick.
And Chapter Moses 4. Answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me.
Stop. Moses, this excuse, Moses was so emphatic with it, Fabian. He didn't say they may, you know. He says, but behold, they will not believe me. So Moses closed the chapter right there. That was that excuse. They will not. Sometimes we say things in extremes when we make up our excuse. We say, I've heard us say that before, the people not listening to the gospel anymore. People don't want it anymore. Sometimes even I say that in that coach, in that extreme language. Sometimes I'm guilty of saying it like that too, that they're not listening to the world, don't want the gospel anymore. No, we can't coach it like that. Because we still don't know there's somebody out there that is dying and hungering and thirsting for truth. So we may have a lot of them, yes, out there that don't listen, that don't want it, but you still will have some that will listen. You still will have some that will want it, Karen. Am I correct? Yes. You still have, because some of us have a way of just putting everybody together. I say, no, they're not interested in the God. They're not interested in the church. They're not interested. No. We mustn't coach it in that way, because if you coach it that way, we start to put negativity already on our personal evangelistic effort. We start to put negativity on it already. That negative energy that's stopping us, because we already tell ourselves before we even go out there, you know, that they now won't hear anything. So we go out there now with that energy, that low, low energy, that they don't want to hear anything. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You get, right. But that is not all we are to say it. Some will not listen, yes, that's true. But some will listen. Some will listen. So God answered him calmly again. God answered him. God didn't quarrel with him. God answered. God listened to every one of his excuses, you know. And God answered everyone. Every excuse that we give for not doing evangelism, God has an answer for it. That's the extension for us now. When you go to the scriptures, Cheryl, every single excuse that we give, an answer is in scripture to rebut that excuse. Yes? It is there to rebut that excuse. So God is answering me now. Continue reading for me now. Okay. Pick up now. Where are you reading? So verse 2?
The end of verse 1.
All right. Read verse 2 for me now.
And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it.
Verse 4.
And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
So God is giving him now all the evidence that he will need. Am I correct? All the evidence. But we have the evidence in scriptures. We have the evidence that we need in how the Bible, as all the scriptures are there for us to learn from, both the Old and New Testament. What other witnesses we have we need? What other evidence do we need? It's all there for us. It's all there for us already. So we don't need to. Because when we go out there to teach people, we have all the evidence can teach them from is this. All the evidence is here. It's just we know to get the knowledge and go out there with the confidence to teach them. Start thinking of people at your workplace. We have to get proactive now, you know. Start thinking of people at your workplace, and you never talk to about the gospel yet. Your neighbors, people at your workplace, and start to target them, even one. Even one for a few months, and you start to target them. You target even one and see what happens. And you will, and sometimes these one, you'll not be successful. You'll move on to another one, and so on and so on. One will be successful. You'll be successful with somebody. But if you don't do anything, you won't be successful with anybody. Right? So you have to try success with even one person. So they won't believe me. That's not true. That's a lie. People will believe. Some people will not believe, but some people will believe. Now, Moses now is going to go on to excuse number 4. Excuse number 4. I am a terrible public speaker. Right? I am a terrible public speaker. I cannot talk. Right? I am a terrible public speaker. I cannot talk. That shouldn't stop you. Could have the worst stuttering in the world. That shouldn't stop you. Right? I remember years ago, in this congregation here, you would have Eddie would preach. You would have Eddie would preach. You'd have Derek would preach. I never saw myself at all as a speaker to talk around a pulpit, to talk to people. I would speak one-on-one with person, but never around a pulpit in this situation. But see me here now, I run a pulpit in situation. So you can't give up on yourself like that. You have to push your comfort level. You understand? You can't get too comfortable. push the comfort level and see what you can achieve for God. Just push it and see what you can achieve for God. So he's going to tell him that he is not a public speaker. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4 now, from verse 10 to verse 12. Let me hear that passage.
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
Him tongue heavy, can't talk nice and fluent, you know? Yeah, continue.
And the Lord said unto...
Stop a second. So he's going to tell, but God is the person who made him, you know? And God is the one who sent him, because the power is not in us, you know? Most of them realize that. You could be the best public speaker or the worst public speaker. It's not in you. It's not in you to do the conversion. It is God. God can use any limitation that you have. Any limitation that you have and still accomplish much. Are you following me? So he was saying that is to say that will stop him from doing it. No. So God said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who make it the dumb? Or the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So God is saying to him, I know all about you, you know, Moses. I'm the one who made you, you know. So I know weakness that you have. I know the strengths that you have, right, Vivian? And I know the weaknesses that you have because I am the one who made you. So I know all about you already. You never tell me that. I know all about you already. So God just say that, and then God say verse 12. No, therefore go. Look at that verse 12 phrase. Read that verse 12 phrase of the record.
Now, therefore go.
Stop. Go, therefore go. The matter is closed. Go. Therefore go. I know about you, and I will listen to it now. Read now. Therefore go. Continue reading for
and
me.
And I will be with thy mouth.
I will be with your mouth. Right? Continue.
And teach thee what thou shalt say.
And I will teach you what you must say. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you must say. So that excuse is no excuse. God answered all of his excuses. But Moses is not finished yet. Moses is going to come now with a fifth excuse, and he's going to say to him, God, yes, but I'm not qualified. I'm not overall, I'm not really the person for this job. I'm not qualified for this job. Follow me? I'm not qualified for this. You know what I learned about Brother Clough's funeral? At Brother Clough's funeral, Fabian, when Brother Clough died, and most people don't realize, Brother Clough is also my cousin, you know. Most people don't know that. But when he died, and I went to the funeral, when the church was in problem at Walton Park, when I went to the Lana Avenue, Brother Clough was not a trained preacher, you know. Brother Clough wasn't a trained, didn't go to any school of preaching. Am I right, Fabian, or anything like that? He was just an ordinary member in the church. And Brother Clough took on the leadership of the Delano Avenue Church of Christ and became the minister. He was not a preacher, trained preacher, but he took on the job and did an excellent job. So you can't say you're not qualified. You can't say that. So God is at that time now, God's anger was kindled against him now at that point. Let me hear now from chapter 4 now. Read now for me from 13 now to 15 now, Rakhoy.
And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send.
So he's saying it to him, I'm not really qualified. You need probably somebody else, because I'm not really qualified to carry out this job that you want me to carry out. Hear God though.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
Is that this time the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses? And he said what?
And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart.
15.
And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye should do.
I love what you read that a while ago. You read it so excellent. Can you put the emphasis there? You said, I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. So God knows he's going to be with the two of them. So God is not against teamwork, you know. Sometimes teamwork, God is not against teamwork. What is teaching? God is not against teamwork. And in the church here, we have so many of us. A whole lot of us in there. It's not like you alone going out and to the street meeting. There's a lot of us going out there, you know. So we have support. Am I correct, church? You have support. So Moses got support from Aaron. And then God was with the two of them. Everybody follow me? God was with the two of them. So we need to shed ourselves. We learned a lot about them. We need to shed ourselves of these inhibitions, these insecurities, and sometimes lies that we tell about ourselves and limitations we set on ourselves. You know, we have to get rid of that so that we can carry out the work of the Lord. Listen, you know, God will help us. God knows, he already knows of all the insecurities that we face. He makes us, he knows about us more than anybody else because he created us. So he knows already about our what? Insecurities. And he will equip us. Am I correct? Once we put ourselves forward and say, okay, I want to do this for the Lord. I want to serve for the Lord. Once you do the willingness, then God now, just like Moses, God is going to equip us. God is going to empower us because the work needs to be done. Are you following me, Oshin? So God will equip us. God will empower us. And we will not be alone. Just try and remember that. You will not be alone. And next thing that Moses learned, and we can learn it too, Moses did not have to be his brother. Moses did not have to be Aaron. Moses just have to be Moses. Follow me? So you're in the church, you're not going to be Brother Gilbert. You're not going to be Brother Michael. You're not going to be Brother Fabian. You're not going to be Brother Mitchell. You're going to be yourself. So just be yourself. God is not asking you to be somebody else. God knows your limitations already. God knows your abilities. God will work with that. God will work with that. Because I remember, you know, years ago though, that young man, to this day, we are still in contact with him and his family. In fact, he has come here to church already on more than one occasion. I invited him and his entire family, and he has been here already. And when I met that young man, you know, he always, I taught him economics. And when I met him, you know, he was always talking about this other person in his class, a champion, that was so good at economics. And he couldn't believe he was so good at economics. I said, no, you can do it too. You can do it just like him. Don't be like him. Be yourself. And he ended up placing in the Caribbean and in Jamaica for economics because he stopped believing that the other person was better than him. And he believed in himself. It's the same way. You are looking in the pews and you say, boy, Brother Mitchell, please, so when can I be like Brother Mitchell? How can I be like Brother Fabian? No, just be yourself. And God will work with you. Be yourself. God will work with you. Stop resisting and just trust him. That's what Moses didn't do. You know. That's why Moses gave excuse every time. Moses was not trusting in God as he showed. But in the end, no. In the end, he trusted because he did go and do it. Right? He did go and do it. And when we go out there, we have to face our insecurity, knowing that God is with us. We have to expect that people are going to slam the door in our face. We're going to get resistance. You're going to expect that. Expect it. But that should not make you turn away from it. But you must expect it. You must keep moving forward. In the Sunday school class, we talk about have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we spoke about what shoes, my cup also in Wednesday night Bible study, shoes in those days allowed the soldiers a firm grip on the side when they were battling. And the shoes allowed them to move forward. So we have to be firm in our defense of gospel and of the doctrine. And we must also be able to move forward with the gospel of peace, spreading it to the entire community, spreading it in our different communities at work and at play and in our homes and so on. So I hope that you learned something tonight. It's a simple lesson, yes, but it's a lesson, and also marry it with Joshua. I didn't go to Joshua, where God encouraged him to be of good what? Courage. We need to have courage as we go out in the year to come and continue with our personal evangelistic effort. The lesson is yours. Thank you.